Leo Frank, Georgia Supreme Court, Appeals Records 1913, 1914, page 1127. Visible translated text is as follows. Thanksgiving Day, when I left him at the corner of Mitchell and Alabama, where he caught a Washington Street car. I don't know what he did that afternoon. I do know that I remained at the factory every Saturday afternoon since I have been there because I have nothing else to do. I paid off, April 25th. I remember Helen Ferguson coming to the window and I paid her. I can tell you the names of many more that I paid off that afternoon. Witness gives names of 8 or 10 more he claims to have paid off. Mr. Frank and Mr. Holloway were there at the time. It is very dark underneath the chute near the Clark Woodenware Company place, and we kept shellac in front of the door. There it is, the door to the left. We did not have boxes piled around there after this murder occurred. If a body had been shot down there, it would have been 20 or 25 feet from that door. We go down there every day or so to get shellac. You don't have to pass by the opening under the chute. I never mentioned any indication that anybody had walked around the chute. I saw the place in the metal department on the second floor where they said there was blood. It looked like a small spot covered with white. It looked like blood from a finger being cut. It looked like Haskalene had been splashed all over the metal department. There was nothing different about that particular spot from any others, except that it was red. It looked like it had been swept over. As to those steps by the chute, I don't know that they were nailed up immediately after the murder. 3 days after I came up those steps, I don't remember whether it was before or after the insurance people made us clean up. I know I was at the factory on Saturdays and holidays after 12 o'clock. I change the clock at times if I find that it is not right. We don't run 5 minutes ahead of time. Every time I look at it, it is on time. We do not have to regulate it often. We regulate it by the whistle in back of us every day at 12 o'clock. We don't set it every time we hear the whistle, though. We have had unreliable people at the factory. We give them a trial. I knew that Conley was unreliable a good while ago, found it out the first time I ever spoke to him. When we found that we couldn't trust him, we took him off the elevator. Mr. Darley and I did it. We didn't take it up with Frank or ask him. When we told me about me, he worthless mess. Miss Carson and others have told me he tried to borrow money and slip off. She complained to me several times about it, that he was trifling and didn't clean up her department, that he didn't move the pencils, that he sprinkled on top of the pencils, that he tried to borrow money. The Negroes would come to me and told me that he wouldn't pay his debts and slip off. I don't know whether I ever took these complaints to Mr. Frank or not. I was not under Mr. Frank. I had authority to fire him, but I didn't do it, because in a factory like that, it is hard to get a Negro who knows something about it. He was in the chain gang 2 or 3 times. Once he worked on Forsyth Street in front of the building, and then women would come up to me and try to get money to get him out, 2 or 3 times. That has happened since he has been working at the factory. I know that he has been in the chain gang once, when I saw him working in front of the